Oh, welcome to The Element, where I will be discussing different NBA topics and scenarios. My name is Craig Pearson, and each podcast will be around 30 minutes long. I'm going to have about 3 topics each day. On deck for today, we will have the top free agents and where I think they will go and where I think they should go. Then we will have 7 Laker targets that they should pursue. And finally, we'll have 7 draft takeaways. So first up, we've got the free agents. Obviously, everyone talks about the 5Ks, Kawhi, KD, Clay, Kyrie, Kemba. I think for some of these guys, it's pretty simple. For others, it's pretty complicated. 40% of these guys probably won't play next season. That's Clay and KD. But first, I'm going to talk about Kawhi and where I see him going and where I think he should go. First of all, I just have a hard time seeing him leave Toronto. There's just a lot of signs pointing to him staying there. I could see him signing a 1-2-year deal there. That's where I think he should go. Stay in Toronto. Give him the best chance to win. They might get some more pieces. It'd be nice if they could get him a second star. It's tough up there in Toronto, but so where I think he's gonna stay, I guess, is Toronto, and where I think he should stay is Toronto. Now for KD, this one isn't as complicated as one might say. There's a lot of things going around. People are saying he's going to go to the Knicks, all this. And there's even been rumors that he's going to stay with the Warriors and then get traded, rehab with the Warriors, then get traded from there. I think for KD, you got to stay with the Warriors, at least for this season. There's just a lot of reasons, he could... New York, they could get impatient, but I think at the end of the day, New York would be happy to have KD. I think he should stay with the Warriors, but I do think he'll end up in New York. And maybe not right away, but I think when he plays again, he'll be a Knick. So now for Clay, I think no matter what, Clay's going to stay with the Warriors, and I think that's what he should do. His is pretty simple. I mean, especially him being hurt. I mean, he might play next season, his injury is not as serious as KD's, but, there's just, a lot of factors that point to him staying in Golden State. And, I don't know who you'd leave Golden State for, and then Kyrie, Kyrie's kind of an oddball, no one ever sees him. Everyone has this idea that he's not happy, and that's probably true, could be true. For whatever reason, he wasn't satisfied when he won the championship with LeBron, or maybe he was, but maybe he just saw that they weren't gonna do it again with KD and Golden State and all this. But I think he'll end up with Brooklyn. I think he should go to the Lakers. He won with LeBron. They should run it back, try it again. At the end of the day, though, I think he's seeking something else. I don't know what it is, and no one really does, but it just doesn't seem like he's very happy in Boston. Wasn't happy with the Cavs. So finally, Kemba. I don't know. Kemba's is complicated. There's a lot of speculation that the Hornets might not offer the max, which is kind of silly to me, but I think Kemba should try and sign with the Lakers again, if he can, if they don't get Kyrie or whatever. But I think he'll end up in Charlotte, stay in Charlotte. I think they will offer him the max. He's the best, he's that franchise's best player ever, so it's pretty hard to move on from him. I've got 11 guys here. We just discussed 5, so On the next one, I've got Jimmy Butler. There's a lot of Lakers rumors. I think Jimmy will end up staying with Philly. And I think that's the best move for him. I think that's where he should end up, just because he gets that fifth year guaranteed. You know, he'll be 34, 35 by the end of 4 years, and then who knows what kind of money he'll be able to get from there. I just think for him, staying with the Sixers is the best option. They lost to the NBA champions on a buzzer beater that bounced around 10 times. It's tough to, you know, and it's tough to see him leave when they were that close to winning it all. So, and then that leads me to Tobias Harris. Same thing. I think he should stay with Philly. I do think he'll end up in Brooklyn with Kyrie. I think it'll be Kyrie and Tobias Harris. And I do think the Nets will overpay for him. Honestly, I don't think Philly should overpay for him, because they can get other guys, but I would like to see him stay in Philly, you know, run it back. Like I said, they lost on the only ever Game 7 winning shot, so. Okay, so now we've got D'Angelo Russell. Where do I think he'll end up? That's tough. Pacers, Timberwolves, Lakers, you know, there's a lot of guys that are, there's a lot of teams trying to go after him. The Jazz were in there until they got Mike Conley. I think he should go back to the Lakers, you know. The management has changed since he was there last time, and now they know that they're invested in him. Also, he and Anthony Davis can keep building that LA squad post-LeBron. Next, we got Al Horford. This is kind of a weird story, because he started out, he was going to reconstruct his contract with Boston, and then it ended up he wanted max money wherever he goes, and it's weird to me. Al Horford's he can help a team a lot. He does things, you know, he's a great leader. He can knock down threes if you need him to. He's a good defender, good passer for a big man. This whole thing with Boston is just weird. You know, they're falling apart. Anyways, Al Horford, I think he should have stayed with Boston. He should have opted in, stayed with them. But I think he'll end up with Dallas. I don't think Dallas will really get anyone else. And they have a tendency to kind of overpay. Well, maybe that's not true, but like Harrison Barnes, overpaid for him. Anyways, next up we got Boogie. And this one's tough, you know. I don't know where he'll go. I think he should go somewhere where he can kind of reestablish himself as a premier big man in the league, wherever that is. Maybe he goes back to the Kings. I don't know. The Mavericks are another possibility there if they miss out on Al Horford. And honestly, I'd rather have Boogie than Al Horford, just because although Boogie is coming off the Achilles thing and the leg injury in the finals, he was the best center in the league for a while, and I would take a chance on that without maxing him out, you know. Give him a 2-year deal, $40 million, something like that, you know, whoever it is. But what about Boston, you know? They're losing Al Horford, they're losing Kyrie. Why not try to take a swing at Boogie? I don't know. We'll see. My last free agent that I want to talk about is Chris Middleton. It's hard to imagine him going anywhere. The only reason I wanted to talk about him is because he opted out. He's an unrestricted free agent. And honestly, the Bucks are going to have to pay for him, because they can't lose him. He's a great defender. He's a knockdown three-point shooter. He was an all-star last season. He's great with Giannis. You know, Giannis can kick when he drives and all this. So Chris Middleton ultimately is a great piece for Milwaukee to have. Next, we got the Lakers. I have seven targets here that they are, seven targets here that they should look to pursue. And these aren't seven targets that they can all get. I have it in order of if they miss out on this guy, then they should get this guy. Tell like the last four. Last four are guys they could all acquire if they wanted to. All seven of these guys are backcourt players because their front court right now, it's not set, but like their starters are pretty good. You know, you got LeBron, Kuz, and AD. So the Lakers, I think first and foremost, they should go after Kyrie. LeBron won with Kyrie, won a championship with Kyrie, with a less talented big man than Anthony Davis. You know, Kevin Love, people kind of forget, he was awful in that finals. He had the 13-rebound game in Game 7, and the stop on Steph Curry, but, you know, yeah, I don't think he averaged double digits in that finals. And I might be making that up, but, you know, he didn't shoot very well. He just wasn't very great. He was a good, decent rebounder in that. But outside of that, you know, they didn't need him that much. The reason they won that championship is because LeBron and Kyrie, and I think if they had those two again, Kyrie's potentially the third guy. You know, that's great because, you know, that's a formula to win. When your third best player is Kyrie Irving, that's crazy good. But if the Lakers miss out on Kemba, or on Kyrie, they should go after Kemba, you know, I think Kemba, some people said that he's Kyrie without a ring, and I disagree with that. I think Kyrie's more talented, but I do think Kemba's close. You know, he's a 3-time All-Star. He's got the handles. He's a very good shooter. Kind of a defensive liability, kind of like Kyrie. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he would be a great compliment to LeBron and AD. And I think if he came to the Lakers, he would understand that he's the third guy. I think he would take that easier than Kyrie would. So I think, the Lakers should definitely pursue Kemba if they miss out on Kyrie. And if they miss out on both those guys, they should go after D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, if Brooklyn doesn't retain him, if they get Kyrie. D'Angelo Russell, you know, kind of like these guys, he can pass, he's got the handle, he can shoot. He shot 37%, I think, on like 8 threes a game this year. Different management, you know, stuff like that, I think. So I think if you miss out on those two guys and you give D'Lo pretty close to the max, I don't think there's any reason he could say no to that. So, and then finally, if you kind of miss out on those three guys, there are four targets I have here that you can kind of spread your money on. Those four targets are J.J. Redick, Patrick Beverley, Danny Green, and Terry Rozier. Now there's one thing here, like with Patrick Beverley and Terry Rozier, I think they would have a hard time taking a pay cut because they kind of know their worth. Terry Rozier, he had that really good finals with Boston, and who knows if they don't retain Kyrie, he might stay in Boston. But you know, I think with him, he's kind of fed up with Boston also, like Al and Kyrie are. So I don't know what's going on over there in Boston, but like, yeah, Terry Rozier, if he can play like he did kind of in the Eastern Conference Finals, he was great. Like, he was their starting point guard. He shot the ball really well. If he can do that with LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, that would be a great piece. And then Danny Green, he's your 3-and-D guy. You know, he can defend 1 through 3. He can shoot lights out, you know. That's all that matters. Well, not all that matters, but that's important to LeBron. LeBron needs guys he can kick to. Same with Anthony Davis. If he draws doubles in the post, kick out, you know. Now, Patrick Beverley, this is kind of a grinded out guy who can also shoot, too. So I think, you know, that's what LeBron needs. He kind of needs some grinders. He needs those role players who can really elevate their game when it matters, like Shane Battier. Mike Miller was kind of one of those guys. You know, guys like that, and they can knock down shots when they need to. Finally, J.J. Redick, he's kind of more of a shooter, and he can go out and get you 30 a game, not per game, but he can get you 30 on a given night. So I just really think that those are four guys that they should target if they miss out on Kyrie, Kemba, and D'Angelo Russell. So finally, what we've got is seven takeaways from the draft. I've got for this, three of the seven are the top three picks. They've got to be talked about, obviously. And then I've got two teams on here and two guys that I think will be steals. So I'll start out with Bol Bol. I think he dropped further than he should have. He's a big man. He's skinny. You know, he's had a major injury already. That can be scary for a lot of teams. And the Denver Nuggets, they're not afraid of that, really. You know, they have a good team. They almost made it to the NBA Finals. Or the NBA Conference Finals, I guess, with their current team. But, like, Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol, they kind of invested in those guys. And they're kind of, you know, they don't need to rush those guys at all back. You know, Bol Bol, obviously, I don't think he's still got problems. But, like, you know, I think that both those guys can contribute in the future. It might pay off big for the Nuggets. You know, Bol Bol, he's got defensive potential. He averaged 21-9 at Oregon in nine games, which nine games is, it's a smaller sample size, but still, it's, you know, it's nine games. Like, you got to be pretty good to average 21-9 in a nine-game stretch. Also, he's 7'3". If nothing else, he's going to be out there and he can get you 10 rebounds a game. You know, he can block a few shots. So, yeah, I think that was a steal. And then I'm not sure how you say this guy's name even. Matisse Thybulle or something. He was drafted 20th overall to the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'll kind of pull up some of his things from Washington here. But he... you know, he averaged like 3.5 blocks and 2.5 steals in college, in his last year of college. He's a very, very good defender. Let me kind of just pull up some of the stats here. Sorry, just a second. But yeah, I think he's kind of a three. Okay, so his season high last year was 18 a game, but that's not why they drafted him. So let's go career statistics. Okay. His average rebounding total for his senior year was 3.1. His average. Okay, hold on here. I don't care about that really. Okay, his points per game average was 9.1 his senior year. So he's not going to get a whole lot of points for you, but. Here's the thing that's pretty crazy. He averaged a bunch of steals, a bunch of blocks. Also, his three-point percentage in his last 3 years of college were 45%, 44%, and 41%. Career average of around 43%. So that's pretty good. You know, it's a college degree, but still, he could definitely be a 3-and-D guy. He's an elite defender. Okay, so here it is. 3.5 steals and 2.2 blocks per game. So that's a crazy amount of steals and blocks for, you know, this guy. I just want to kind of talk about him. You know, he's going to be a grinder, I can tell. Like, and, you know, he might not get a lot of minutes, but he's going to be an important role player for whoever team he ends up on in the future. I just want to talk about that because that's pretty interesting. Okay, and then I've got the Hawks and Cavs on deck also. I just want to talk about that. If you kind of know anything about me, you know that the Cavs are one of my favorite teams, kind of because LeBron was there. But here's what they got, right? Okay, so first of all, they picked Darius Garland 5th overall, which was is pretty good. You know, he's a good player. I think where he really, his draft stock really went up is his workouts for some of these teams. You know, they've got a point guard in Colin Sexton, but this will be a good backcourt. What I would do is I would give Colin Sexton kind of the reins as point guard still. You know, he kind of deserves that. He kind of had a good rookie year, and then I'd let Darius Garland be the off-ball guard. And, you know, obviously they can kind of switch point guard roles, but, like, Darius Garland's just, he's a good shooter. He can create his own offense. He's reminds me of a two. His assist first games in Vanderbilt weren't great. I think he had more turnovers than assists, and I'm not sure. But, okay, anyways, moving on. Then Dylan Windler. He's from Belmont University. They got him 26th overall. So, and then Kevin Porter Jr., who was one of the best kids in coming into college basketball. You know, everyone kind of thought he was going to be really good. But he kind of fizzled out because of he didn't do as well as everyone thought. Dylan Windler, he's a 43% shooter senior year. So Kevin Porter Jr., you know, he just has a lot of talent. He kind of didn't work out at USC, but that happens sometimes. Okay, and then finally the Hawks. I'll just kind of talk about their 4th and 10th picks here. They kind of, DeAndre Hunter was a great get. Probably one of the better defenders in the draft. He's going to be a 3-and-D guy, and Cam Reddish, kind of same type of deal. He has a really good 3-point stroke and shows flashes of great defense. So I think those are two guys that can really help young Hawks team, especially because they kind of got their point guard and center kind of figured out with Trae Young and John Collins. You know, I think these two could be instant contributors. Help with some 3-point shooting. I wouldn't be surprised if the Hawks made the playoffs with these four guys, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, Trae Young, and John Collins at the forefront. So I'm impressed by their draft too, even though they kind of, you know, they traded around a little bit. That was good. They had the 17th and the 8th also, but they traded up to get DeAndre Hunter, which I think is good because DeAndre Hunter is one of the better players in the draft. Finally, I'll move on to the top three picks. RJ Barrett, first of all, you know, he's just a flat-out scorer. there's a lot of things that can be said about him, you know. And just watching him on some of the pressers, like just after the draft, he's kind of a good, a cool guy, and like he's funny, and he's kind of what the Knicks need in terms of, you know, the enlightenment of the Knicks. You know, I could see a scenario this year where the Knicks don't get any big free agents. And I think that's okay. I think they need to just chill out, you know, save their money. But I think RJ Barrett could have a hell of a rookie season next year. And, okay, and then Ja Morant, you know, this kid, he would be the first pick in a lot of drafts. 20-10, first player to average 20-10 in D1, since that started getting recorded. You know, he's a great passer, great shot maker. I think he is going to be the greatest Memphis Grizzly ever by the end of his career, and he might leave after 5 years, who knows. But I think, you know, I think if he sticks out there 10 years, he'll be better than Mike Conley. That's honestly the best player there ever, so I do think Ja Morant's going to have some great potential. I think he's going to outplay Mike Conley in the long run. And then finally, Zion Williamson. I think this kid, you know, obviously he's great. Like, he's going to be probably an all-star a couple years in the league, if not his first year, you know. But I really think this kid's going to be a boom or bust player. he had the, you know, he blew out of his shoes that one game, and that wasn't really that big of an injury, but, you know, he didn't miss the NCAA tournament or anything. So, you know, no serious injury, but, man, with that big a body, that much explosiveness, if he gets a serious injury, it'll be hard to see him come back. So that's why I'm saying he's a boom or bust player. If he can stay healthy, maybe cut his weight down, I think he will be a great player, and he'll be one of the all-time greats. But if he gets injured, he'll be one of those stories where, hey, you know, if he wouldn't have gotten injured, he'd be great. But, you know, I think with Zion Williamson, a lot of his game rides on whether or not he gets injured. So thanks for tuning in. That's kind of the end of my podcast. Hope to see you next time.